You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny fucking K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
It's the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You gotta say, I'm a human being, God damn it! My life has value!
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
What about you guys? We ain't found shit!
But we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What's up, guys? How's it going? Welcome to episode 207 of Cinema Crespediso. That is right. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out in the Crespediso studio in a wonderful Central Florida, sunny Central Florida. Here's your Christmas weather update. How about the 80s? How's that doing for you, rest of America?
And sunny.
And sunny.
Like F. You want to go to the beach? We could totally do it right now.
We can go to the beach because it's sunny AF. Yeah, that doesn't work. Those you have to say the ass fuck. Mm-hmm. But this is a family show.
Is it? Since when? What kind of weird fucking twisted ass family?
It's always been a family show.
You let listen to this shit.
The same one, the same type of family that'll let their 8-year-old son's favorite movie be Die Hard.
I guess my kind of family.
That kind of family. Yeah. When I was 8, my favorite movie was Die Hard. Not my brother, though.
Who's that?
When he was 8, his favorite movie was RoboCop.
Okay, so two horribly violent movies.
But they're good movies, though.
Yeah.
They were good movies, guys. Welcome to episode 2 of Sentence. I already did that already. I'm your host, Chris. I did that already. This is Drew Cogburn and Drew.
What up, dude?
How's it going, dude?
It's going.
It is Christmas.
Fuck 2016, bro.
Merry Christmas. Christmas 2016.
2016 was a garbage year.
This is the last of full episode of 2016. There's no guests. Just Drew and I. We're going to close it out. Just the two of us and you guys at home listening. How does that sound? Yeah. What a bummer of a year.
Yeah.
In many ways.
It was shitty. A lot of people croaked.
A lot of people croaked. I have a theory about that. About the croaking of many celebs.
What they all saw. They
all saw the ring.
They'll
watch the ring video.
But they all knew Donald Trump was going to become president. And decided to axe out on the way.
That too. Donald Trump's the one passing around the ring video.
They were like, "Fuck this shit."
My theory is that celebrity culture, the way information age, et cetera, just the way it is, as time has gone on, we've acquired more and more celebrities. More and more people are bestowed with some sort of celebrity status. All you got to do to be a celebrity is to be well known. For being well-known, that's the official definition of celebrity. A person who's well-known for being well-known. So we have more celebrities now than ever.
Yeah.
Because it's the information age, right?
Yeah.
Because of that, and because of this acquisition of more and more celebrities over the years, they're getting older and older and older. A lot of them are hitting their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
That's when they die.
So more and more of them are going to be dying now because we have more, quote, celebrities to have to die. So what I'm saying is this is the new norm. Every year now, 2017, just people are just going to be like, why? How are so many people dying? A lot of people die, and there's so many goddamn celebrities. And we're so connected, information age style.
More of them need to die.
Yeah, man, there's a population. I mean, Mick Jagger just had another kid. Is that necessary?
No. completely. Was it necessary for him to have even the one? That's the question.
At least one. Got to pass on those weird lips and those
jagger jeans
and those hip moves, those jaguar moves. Well, we can't leave that up to Steven Tyler's kids. Good golly. Short end of the deal on that one. So that's my theory. There's just more celebrities, and we're acquiring them more, and we're more connected. And so just as people die, it's going to accelerate. Pretty soon, it's going to be like every other day, like some legendary person is dead.
Sweet.
And then after that, it's going to be like every day, every couple hours, like a different old YouTube star or Vine star died.
Don't care.
Millions of people will, though.
Sucks for them.
Millions of people will care when PewDiePie dies.
Who?
Haha.
I don't even know who that is.
So popular.
I'm really glad.
So rich off of YouTube.
Really glad I don't know who that is.
So popular, so rich off YouTube.
Just name sounds very annoying.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Part of the shtick. What are we talking about? So it's Christmas, guys. It's Christmas. Did your car at home, when you started your car today, did it like take a second to start up, an extra second? Did you get worried when it idled a little rough in traffic today? That's Christmas. Those are Christmas signs.
I mean, it is Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve. This episode, for us, it's Christmas Eve. Full disclosure, we're recording Christmas Eve, but the episode will be coming out Christmas morning. It's a Christmas gift for everyone. It's like the coal in your stocking. Yeah. Here's the final full episode of 2016.
Here's a lump of shit in your stocking.
Do you need an hour and a half away from your family or your loved ones or your children, the screeching and the whatnot? Then that's why we're here for. We got you in your ears. Or in your ears. That's what I'm going to say. We got you in your ears is what I said.
That sounds really strange.
Dude, it's a mess.
Don't repeat that.
Welcome to Christmas. It's a Christmas.
It is.
Christmas is a Christmas this year. Christmas came multiple times for me.
Oh, nice.
You know, and again, that's the thing. Yeah, so, and
it's not over yet.
Yeah, it is the Christmas season. It's more about a season than a specific day.
It's not over yet.
It is not over yet. It can even take a bit to die off. Yeah. So
we'll see what happens.
It's kind of like a fluctuating beginning and end point, sort of like a Ramadan type thing.
Yeah.
It's a Christmadon. You know, but wait.
That doesn't sound good either.
But it's the opposite of fasting.
That sounds like
instead of fasting all day, you eat your feelings.
Ah, just eat them away.
Yeah. I have gained weight since
already.
Since more weight. Well, I lost a bunch of weight, but then I gained some of it back. Yeah, and that's like that's what they say, right? Yo-yo. Make sure when you diet, make sure it's a yo-yo diet.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Your weight must
lose,
go up, down,
gain,
up, down.
Lose, gain, lose, that's, gain, lose, yeah. gain. So at the end, when you look back over like the past 5 years, there is no significant change whatsoever.
Yeah, which is better than like ballooning.
Is it?
Yeah, like Monty Python and Not for Time for Something Completely Different. That guy was eating the food, or was that another movie?
No, that was...
What's the one where he's in the restaurant and he's eating? It's a skit movie.
Yeah.
As opposed to Meaning of Life or Life of Brian and Meaning of Life.
No.
No, Meaning of Life.
It was Meaning of Life.
The Meaning of Life.
Yeah, it was Meaning of Life.
Life of Brian is and then...
Mm-hmm. Look on the Bright Side of Life.
We're actually talking about movies for a second there. We're doing it. We're talking about movies. This is Florida's number one movie podcast.
That's actually one of my favorite songs in a movie ever. Look on the Bright Side of Life. When they're all singing up there crucified.
It's one of the best songs
Pretty
ever.
Pretty hilarious.
I mean, life is a piece of shit when you look at it. Just for that line alone, you're like, yes. Yes, it is. Thank you. So just look on the bright side of it. That's Christmas. It's like you and a bunch of other people are being crucified, and you just got to sing, look on the bright side of life. You enjoy it. You enjoy what's happening because it's Christmas. You just put up with it.
And just be crucified. It's cool.
You know, sometimes you get your Jelly of the Month Club membership.
Sometimes you don't even get that.
That's what I was going to say. Sometimes you would have been happy to have at least gotten that.
Or sometimes, how about instead of a Jelly of the Month Club, you get the authorities sent to your house.
That's good, too. That's a weird thing. That's a weird Christmas bonus.
Merry Christmas.
That's a weird Christmas bonus. okay, guys. Let's see here. What are we going to do? We got we have a full show for you. Let's start with the good old Netflix. The final Netflix Instant Pick of the Week for 2016.
We got what you see. Movies on fleek. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Here we go, guys. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week time. What was it last week? Last week it was... I wrote down what his was, but... Oh, Disney's A Jungle Book.
Ah, there we go. That was good.
Disney's The Jungle Book. And Ross, our guest Ross McCoy from Tom and Dan, brought his pick of the week, Under Arrest, which is that Cops in Canada show we gotta check out. A week before that, pick of the week was What's Eating Gilbert Grape. That was when Steve Etchie was here. Etchie hit us up on Twitter, at Crespediso, with the tweet, "If Gilbert Grape didn't have a truck, there would be no movie." Interesting observation there.
He used that truck for damn near everything.
So let's see. Drew uses a randomizer 9000 to see what is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Take it away, Drew.
Chris, this movie's from 2015.
I know that.
I know that.
It's rated R.
And it's rated R. I could have told you that. And it's also a R com action
drama.
Drama. It's a drama.
And it's 1 hour and 37 minutes long.
137 is short. I'm writing all this down. 2015, rated R. 1 hour, 37 minutes. It is starring Christopher Walken.
No.
Vin Diesel.
No.
Charlize Theron.
No.
Oprah Winfrey.
No.
Anyone popular. Anyone well known.
Yes. Yes, actually. Yes.
Michael Shannon.
This movie was especially popular for you on Twitter.
On Twitter, it's popular for me on Twitter. On Twitter, it's popular.
Wait, what?
Oh, is it this, you mean because of the kid? What's it called? Being Charlie?
Yes.
I was going to ask, my next question was going to be, is it a Florida Film Festival movie movie?
Yes.
We saw this at the Florida Film Festival, Being Charlie. You mentioned a Twitter thing because I just tweeted my review of it with a picture of what's the kid's name? Nick something?
Nick Robinson.
Nick Robinson, who I think was on Disney Channel or some
Don't
shit.
Know.
He was a popular tween star, teenage star, TV, I think. And did this movie, Carl Reiner movie, Rob Reiner. And a bunch of Nick, what's his name?
Robinson.
I want to say Henderson. Nick Robinson, Twitter fan accounts, latched onto the review and were retweeting it. And some of them were tweeting directly to that account, writing, "Nick, I love you, heart, heart, heart," as if he was going to see that shit. It was so weird.
Yeah.
It was I got a couple of clicks out of it.
Yes, it was.
That's what it's all about. Getting them clicks. I don't know for why. I'm supposed to monetize them somehow.
Gotta get them clicks.
I'm not good at this shit. Being Charlie's a good movie, though. It's a personal film. It's written by Rob Reiner's son. And it's about his experiences trying to kick his addiction habits and whatnot. His drug habits and shit. And it's good. It's solid. Cary Elwes is in it.
Yep.
As a politician. Father.
Yeah. Common's in it.
What's that? Common's in it. That's right. Common.
Yeah. He's
running.
Running the halfway house thing.
The halfway house. And he meets a girl at the rehab, and they discourage commingling of the sexes, and for a reason. But they commingle.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't really work out for them. Being Charlie is good stuff. People should check it out. Solid movie.
Bueno.
For sure. Definitely good Florida Film Festival type movie. Oh, that means it's time for the next segment. That box office. Top 5.
Box office top 5.
Drew's time. Here we go, Drew. What's the, where are we starting the top 5 at the box office this week?
Number 10.
We're starting at number 10.
This Friday, La La Land made $977,000. It's not going to be a full box office recap, obviously, because, it's
That's right. Saturday. We're this Saturday. We don't have the full weekend, so this is based on Friday numbers, which will translate pretty much to Christmas weekend. Also, La La Land came out. A lot of these come out on Wednesday. So Friday's not even the opening day for them. La La Land.
So, yeah, $977,000 total of $8.8 million.
Yeah, see, it's right, so far. It's right at $8.8 million. 10's pretty low, though. I doesn't say how many theaters.
It is in. I made 400. It came out in more theaters. 205.
Not many theaters, though. No. Not many theaters, but still, 10 is pretty low. 205. We had the chance to see this the other night. La La Land.
Yes, we did.
Directed by Damien Chazelle, his follow up to the very successful Whiplash. Starring Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone.
Yes.
It's a musical set in L.A., a very...
Modern L.A.
Modern L.A., but a very stylized musical. Ryan Gosling plays like a hipstery jazz character, so like he drives around a car with wood paneling and listens to cassette tapes.
Yeah, because,
and,
you know.
And records, because he's like, jazz! And, but everyone else like using cell phones and stuff, and it's like, oh yeah, we're modern too. Very lavish, very like a made-up L.A.
Yes.
You know,
a very pretty L.A.
Very romanticized L.A., very romantic L.A., even in its grimy dunginess, like when they go to the that one club, the Black Jazz Club, and it's a crazy neon sign on the like the shit building.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a musical.
Yes, it is.
Started with a full on musical song number, and dance number on a freeway.
Yep.
That looked like it was all done in one take, probably a fake one take, but
yeah, definitely.
But still, very. A lot going on there.
A lot of dancing on cars.
Let you singing. Know. A lot of dancing on cars and singing.
Lets you know what you are in for.
Lets you know what's happening.
Well.
They all look at the camera at the end. Like, oh, shit. Fourth wall. Fuck that fourth wall.
Fuck you, buddy.
So it was a full-on musical.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think, Drew?
This movie solidified the fact that I don't like musicals. Not that the movie wasn't good, because technically it was. I mean, the acting was good. You know, Ryan Gosling did his thing. Emma Stone did her thing.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else did their thing.
Yeah.
It was well acted.
Yeah.
I really liked the jazz music.
The jazz!
Not so much the singing parts.
Any of the singing at all? Or not just, all, like no. you mean the singing in terms of, like, when...
I don't did they're singing doing, they're, as storytelling.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah, they're doing their dialogue, and then to get across the emotion of the scene, they stop and they start singing a song to each other, dancing around.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's not really my bag.
Okay.
And this further solidified that. I mean, I've never really been into musicals, but I was a fan of this guy's last movie.
Yes.
I dig Emma Stone's work. I dig Mr. Gosling. So figured check it out, even with all the things. Even it included it being a good movie, you know, good director, good acting, good movie.
Well made.
Still not my thing.
You're like, bah, you.
Yeah, I don't like musicals, man.
You wouldn't see it again.
No.
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 Emphatically wouldn't see it again.
No, I would not. But if you like musicals, I could see you'd probably enjoy this movie quite a bit.
You should probably check it out then if you like musicals. Uh-huh. If you like musicals, you should probably check it out. You're saying it's good.
Yes, it is. See? Even though I didn't like it.
Why you don't like, I don't like musicals in the same way. It's the same thing with me, where I don't like I really don't like the Les Mis style, where all of the dialogue is like singing.
I will not do that.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah,
I can put it in a theater. It's a little different ones in a theater. At least it's happening there. I don't know.
Nope.
But I'm not a fan.
Not for me
necessarily. Less so, I guess, but still, in a movie, when they're talking their dialogue and then they stop to like sing a song or something, then it's like, you know, like, I mean, I could see an opera if I wanted to just sing it.
Or Broadway.
They can't go to Broadway. There's no way you can go to Dr. Phillips when Broadway comes to town. Mm-hmm. But with the Bobo actors, not the actual actors, you don't get Lin-Manuel Miranda. You get Jim Parcells Persanda, who's like the understudy's understudy. He's one available hit the road for 2 months at a time.
And if he's not around, they just grab the janitor.
They just grab the janitor and just go out there and just say Hamilton. He's like, Hamilton, Hamilton. I haven't seen that. I don't notice. Just do it.
Keep going.
Hamilton. And then everyone in Orlando's like, yes. This is how they do it in the big cities.
Yes.
This correct. Is fantastic. So I don't like that stuff. That's a very, very similar reason why I don't like musicals, right? Because I do like music, and a lot of the music in this movie is great. So weird that the guy who did the movie about jazz and Whiplash made a movie about jazz in La La Land.
I know, right?
So strange. Also crazy that the guy who made a movie about a dude who makes a lot of personal sacrifices for his art and his dream, makes another movie about a dude who makes a lot of personal sacrifices
for his art and his dream.
That's so crazy.
It is.
He made the same movie twice.
One of them is...
One's very antagonistic, and one is a romantic musical.
Exactly. Yeah.
But he made the same movie twice. This guy, this motherfucker.
Yeah.
This Whiplash, motherfucker.
In my eyes, Whiplash was the infinitely better movie. So.
Yeah, I think in that case, it does come down to what your preference is. for you, for sure. You like thrillers. You prefer a thriller. I do. And that's much more of a thriller than
a jazz thriller? Okay, I'm in.
A jazz teacher student thriller?
I'm in.
Psychological thriller?
Sounds good. Sounds fantastic.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, versus this, which is a very much a very romantic, throwbacky, old Hollywood.
Very, very happy, smiley.
Which is why it's going to get a lot of traction when it comes to like award season stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hollywood, when it comes to
shit.
Yeah, the Academy.
They love that shit.
It's all Hollywood insiders. They love throwback cinema. The artists, silent movies. They love stuff like that, you know. So that's why this is getting a lot of hoopla and the buzz and whatnot. But overall, I gotta say, whereas you're like, I definitely don't like musicals. If the movie's good, I still get wrapped up in it. And the singing in this one didn't kill it for me. As a matter of fact, the one song that Ryan Gosling sings on the dock.
Mm-hmm.
His short little soliloquy song.
Yeah.
That's only like a minute and a half anyway.
It's awful.
It's very short. The lyrics, I thought they were the kind of beautiful lyrics. And I was like, actually, it did the job where they're expressing the emotion of the scene musically. And it, like, I was paying attention and it got me. I think part of the reason is when I hear music, like, I can hear the music just fine. But the lyrics, the singing, I have to strain to understand what's being said. I can't pick up on sung words.
I mean, I can
very naturally.
I can pick up on it just fine. It just annoys me.
Does it?
It is not my preferred method of storytelling.
I have to like work a little extra harder to be able to understand what's going on. But that one song, I was like, oh, that's a beautiful song. Actually, as a matter of fact, I'm gonna play it in the Crespo Disco later.
Yep.
So the movie worked for me. I enjoyed it. Some of it was like, yeah, when they sat down on the bench and they were like sort of doing the tap dancing thing.
When she started changing her shoes, I was like, oh, she's putting on tap dancing shoes. Good fucking Lord.
Yeah, and I was like,
I know where this is going.
I know the Gene Kelly illusions and all that stuff. Yeah, exactly. Fred Astaire.
Yeah, I got it.
We know what you're going for. It's cool, and they did it. At least the movie isn't totally saturated in that stuff.
No. I mean, it's its own thing.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's part of it, but it's not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And a touch of magical realism is fun, too. Like when they go to the observatory.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
The end was... I saw the end coming a million miles away.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I was confused as it was happening, but then when it wrapped up, I was like, oh, okay.
The second, like, they walked up to the club...
Yes.
I was like...
Oh, that I knew. I knew what was happening
there. I was like, where's the sign? Where is it?
Yeah,
I know exactly what the sign's gonna be. I know where it's gonna. Know what it's gonna look like.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant when he was playing the piano.
That I figured that. Yeah, that was.
Yeah,
that was a little magical realism as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Gotta say, the movie bummed me out a little bit.
I mean,
it's a bit of a bummer for me. It did because I was into the movie, so. Into the relationship and all that, and what the they were doing,
yeah.
So
I mean,
well, I'm trying not to get into the details.
Best possible outcome, all things considered.
All things considered, I guess it's up to the viewpoint perspective. It's interesting. Yeah, I don't want to get spoilery, but it did have an interesting conundrum of an ending that I thought was like, you know, very relevant in many ways. So I liked it. I think if you're on the bubble, on the fence when it comes to musicals themselves, if you can be swayed on them, depending on the movie, definitely check it out. If you're like Drew, you're like, fuck musicals. I don't like them that much, I can be swayed. You don't like them. You tried and it didn't work.
If
you're not into them, then don't even bother.
I've always been on the fence.
Yeah.
This one, this just proves. This is the closest thing I'm ever going to get to a non-musical musical.
Just push you over.
And it's just, there's no point wasting my time anymore.
It pushed you over the edge to the side of the fence where it's like, no musicals.
Yep. Fuck it.
Fuck it. I'm done with them.
No. No point.
There you go. Whiplash.
Number five. Assassin's Creed.
Numero cinco.
Made 3.7, total of 11.2.
Claro, de assassinitos.
They say that in Portuguese?
In Portuguese.
There's no Spanish.
Claro, de assassinitos. It's like it's like Sean Connery speaking Spanish. That weird. It's like, obrigado. Anyway. Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
You saw this.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about Assassin's Creed, bro.
I mean, Chris, it was... probably the best video game movie that's ever been made.
The best ever. Better than... did you ever see Prince of Persia?
Yes.
Better than that?
Yes.
Did you ever see... what was the other one? There's one more that's like... in the well, Resident Evil movies. I know you don't like awful. Resident Evil movies.
Yeah.
Better than those.
Yes. And it's still not a very good movie, per se.
Best video game movie ever, but not very good, per se.
Still not very good.
Oh, that sucks.
I mean, it hits... If you're familiar with the Assassin's Creed franchise, you know, it does nods to a lot of the stuff that you like. Mm-hmm. Lots of action. I mean, they said not a lot of CG, but there was a fucking shit ton of CG.
There was just on the CG.
I mean...
I knew there would be.
But it wasn't the... It was CG that had to be CG, you know? Giant robot arms, sure. And the way that they presented the Animus.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff had to be CG, so I got it.
All the stuff in the lab and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, all of the action moves and stuff like that, it was definitely, like, actual people doing these things.
True.
Jumping around and all that fun stuff. True. So, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed pretty true to a lot of the lore. So, you know, if you're a stickler about that kind of stuff... You know, they stay pretty true to it.
Did the plot make sense? I see a lot of people were complaining about the plot being muddled.
The plot is definitely muddled, and it all has to do with pacing. They do a lot of things where it's like, all right, we're here, and boom! Hey, look, we're here. Now, obviously, some time has passed,
yeah.
But we're not going to talk about how much time or the fact that time even passed. It's almost like as if there's a point in time where... I mean, if you're familiar with the franchise, they keep you in and out of the Animus. You can't stay in for a long period of time because it'll make you go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time, Michael Fassbender is quote-unquote in for a long time. It's no longer than you've ever seen him in before. There's no build-up to it. All of a sudden, he's just crazy. And they throw him in again, and then he comes out, and then he's not crazy.
Mm.
It's really weird.
Weird. How long is the movie?
The movie is over 2 hours long.
Over 2 hours long? I thought you were going to say it was like 87 minutes.
No, it is 2 hours and 8 minutes.
Things got cut out, and that's why the pacing's weird.
Well, things must have gotten cut out, but
still over 2 hours.
They tried to stuff everything from the entire Assassin's Creed franchise. Something that they've been...
Oh, they did more than
lore
one.
That they've been building over 4 video games.
Multiple
and
years.
We're talking like probably... Like 300 hours of gameplay.
True.
And they're trying to combine it into a 2-hour movie.
True.
And still make it be, you know, look cool and things of that nature, where it's not just somebody sitting here telling you Assassin's Creed stories.
Yeah. Did it ever feel dumb?
No. It seemed a little too smart for its own good sometimes.
Or maybe
like
trying to be too smart.
They were going... Assassin's Creed is kind of a smart franchise,
yeah.
along with the story and everything. So yeah. they were reaching for some of that, but you know, obviously failed.
Was it ever at over 2 hours? Was it ever boring?
Not really. I mean, like I said, there were some things with pacing.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a couple of times where I did lull a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean. In all reality, I was watching it the entire time. I never checked my cell phone.
Okay.
So that's always a good sign.
That is an interesting sign. No. You're watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been there. That happens. So would you recommend the movie? How would you recommend it then? If it's the best video game movie ever, but it's not very good.
I mean, if you like Assassin's Creed and you don't mind watching another video game movie,
because
that's really all this is,
yeah.
Then, you know, by all means, go out and see it. It's beautiful. If you saw Macbeth, which not many people did, you can definitely tell. The action scenes from Macbeth, remember how crazy and bright and everything they were?
Yeah, it was all like super dusty air and colored skies.
This entire movie is dusty air, Chris.
Yeah, it's all dusty air.
There's so much dusty air.
Yeah.
But, you know, he stays true to his style, so the movie looks really pretty.
Interesting.
I know, unfortunately, it is only 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Out of how many reviews?
Hang on. 101.
Ooh, so 20 reviews out of 100 are positive.
Yeah.
Average rating of
4.1.
Ooh, man, that doesn't even put it anywhere. When it comes to the Rotten Tomato scores, that doesn't even put it close to the top of the list. Well, the Resident Evil movies are in the low 30s, and Prince of Persia is like 33%.
Here we go, Chris. Assassin's Creed is arguably better made and certainly better cast than most video game adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the CGI fueled end result still. Wait, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
The CGI fueled end result. Still a joylessly overplotted slog.
Joylessly overplotted. You're talking about the overplotting.
Yeah.
So they
tried to squeeze too much into it.
And the action. So besides for looking great, did the action, was it remarkable? Was it...
It was... It's a lot...
Basic?
It,
it's a lot like a lot of these action movies that we like personally, where it's more real and visceral action as opposed to this fantasy running around nonsense.
But also not like, is it a lot of quick editing? And
Stuff.
Some shaky stuff.
But then again, you know, that's kind of the action of the video game as well. You know, it's just kind of, you see hands move and then people drop dead. You know, that's just kind of the way the game is as well.
Sure. Okay. So that makes sense. Did at any point, did anyone jump into a pile of hay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good.
Michael Fassbender.
Good, specifically him.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. There wasn't a pitchfork matter.
In fact, it was fun. Oh, man, I'm going to give this away.
But give whatever. It away. Go ahead.
And it's weird the way they did it, too, because it was supposed to be, like, a really important scene. Like, oh, my God, he did it.
Yeah.
Because he tries the leap of faith once and fails. And they're like, oh, you know, no, nobody can do the leap of faith.
He fails and breaks his neck.
Nobody ever sinks it. Well, no, he just goes and then he hits the floor. Yeah. But, you know, the machine stops him from killing himself whatever.
Okay.
But then at the end of the movie, and it's kind of like a throwaway thing. And then at the end of the movie, like you would think there'd be like some building up to it. Because at the end of the movie, he finally does the leap of faith.
Yeah.
And Marion Cotillard is like, oh, my God, he did it.
Yeah.
But you as the watcher, you're like, wait, was that supposed to be like something big? Like they didn't.
It wasn't tied into anything else.
No, at all. It was weird.
He didn't have to do it for a plot reason.
No,
he just did it.
He just did. Apparently, the only one.
That was weird. Yeah. All right, well, there you go. But that was your number five movie?
Yes, number five.
Numero cinco. All right, what's number four?
Number four. Why him?
Why him?
Weekend gross. Friday gross 3.9. Same as total.
What we got on the Rotten Tomatoes for Why Him? Because we didn't see this.
41%.
Yeah, the trailers looked terrible. What's the average rating, though?
4.8.
Yeah. So middle of the road. Less than middle of the road.
Solidly cast, but overall misconceived. Why Him offers the odd chuckle, but ultimately adds disappointingly little to its tired father versus fiance formula.
Yeah, seriously. This movie looks like they dug the script out of the 90s.
I know, right?
And then they put in some like cell phone references, and they cast Bryan Cranston.
And he's an app producer now.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, guys. This is bullshit.
Number three.
Passengers.
Friday estimate 4.5. Total, I guess it opened on Wednesday or last week?
Yeah, Wednesday.
11.8 so far.
Yeah, there's another one that came out on Wednesday. Actually, Tuesday night.
Whatever.
These movies, you could have seen them now. Which is funny. Might as well just put them out on Monday in that case. You know, shit. Why even have release dates? Just put the movie out whenever you want to put them out.
That's it.
So, Passengers, sci-fi movie, Chris Pratt, Jay Law, Michael Sheen, not Martin.
Mm-hmm.
No relation.
Andy Garcia.
And they're in the trailer too. Brief appearances from Andy Garcia and Lawrence Fishburne. One briefer than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie is Chris Pratt. He's on a ship that is going across the cosmos to Homestead 2.
Yes, the newest colony planet for humankind.
For human to spread their seed, their galactic seed. And it's a 120-year journey. 30 years into it, the ship passed through an asteroid belt. Hits one that's a little too big, fucks up part of the ship, his pod opens up by accident. He spends a year on the ship by himself being crazy, going crazy, because there's no one else. And then he very creepily...
Sleeping Beauty style,
decides he's going to wake up another passenger to keep him company, but also die with him on the ship.
And who does he choose?
He chooses
the hottest chick he can find.
The hottest chick there, who's like, he reads her stuff first. He's like, oh, it's like she's speaking to me.
And he falls in love with her. It's so cute.
Falls in love with her while she's sleeping.
Because that's the way creepy guys find their victims.
So a creepy guy wakes her up, and then they're on the ship together. Yeah. He's got a secret. I mean, it's weird.
It is.
I don't know about this movie. It's
a weird one, Chris. It's, wait, we were talking about it earlier, and you said it was three movies wrapped in one, and it really was. Whatever, the way that got put out, that really is the movie.
Let me see if I can find that. I know what you're talking about.
While you're finding that, Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
32%. Average rating 5 out of 10, which isn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
They say Passengers proves Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence work well together.
Yeah, pretty good.
And that even their chemistry isn't enough to overcome a fatally flawed story.
Right.
So many flaws in the story, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah, because that's pretty spoilery how the ending of it there.
Yeah.
I don't think this will be spoilery, but this is from Vox.com. Passengers is three movies in one, each creepier than the last. And the three movies are Robinson Crusoe, but in space and with robots.
Correct.
That's like the first 40 minutes.
Part, yeah.
Titanic in space, just the love story part, but creepier and kind of a twisted horror film.
That's the second 40 minutes.
Yeah. And then Stockholm Syndrome, the movie in space.
The third 40 minutes.
Yeah, so that's...
So you take those three movies, mash them together, you got Passengers.
You got Passengers.
And they're right. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt do have chemistry together.
Yeah, sure, they're good.
It worked.
They're both good actors and worked well together. It's a good-looking movie.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Interesting things about it, interesting design things about it.
I agree, but, you know, I'm surprisingly how little of the ship we saw considering how large it was.
How large it was, yeah. We saw, like, the same really four never, or five
you
places.
Really never... felt the true scale of the ship,
which is interesting. At one point, it's like it felt like it really settled to you with an elevator trip.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, right. You never explored the inside. They just get to here to there really easily.
No,
they get wherever they need to get really easily, really quickly.
No,
yeah, it's one of those things. It's funny. Do you even think about that? Yeah, it's the movie feels like it could have been well more, much more developed. Like they could have worked on it longer. Maybe worked out a more daring story. They could have
given me more Event Horizon, ish.
Might as well. Might as well go that route. The sunshine is.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah. Something a little darker, a little more real.
If you're already going that direction.
Because they already got a little dark.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well push that then, as opposed to, you know, trying to rein it back or do something else. That last second. Oh, that's weird. Yeah. Didn't like it too much. Can't say I'm a fan, really. And then no one really likes it, so.
I mean, it was very middle of the road. I mean, if you're really into sci-fi movies.
Gotta be really into them.
Then it's not a bad watch.
Yeah.
In all reality, though, you could totally pass on it, and it won't change your life.
Or if you're really into Jennifer Lawrence wearing a few different outfits.
Yeah, like, I mean, she looks,
a montage where she wears, like,
attractive.
Yeah, she wears like three or four different outfits in this one montage.
If you want to see Chris Pratt's ass.
His ass, or what he looks like with a huge beard and without.
Yeah.
Before and after.
No.
And the before again.
Mm-hmm.
After. So there you go. That was number three?
Yes.
What was number two?
Number two, Sing.
Okay.
Friday estimate of 13.7, total of 33.6.
Good for them. Good for them. What we got on the Rotten Tomatoes for Sing? Can we see it? I wonder how.
71%.
That's not bad. So the average rating's in the sixes?
6.5.
So it's okay. What is their consensus? It's okay.
Sing delivers colorfully animated, cheerfully undemanding entertainment with
undemanding.
A solid voice cast and a warm-hearted, albeit familiar, storyline that lives up to its title. So it's a musical.
So, sounds like a musical softball right down the middle for all the families to enjoy this holiday season.
Exactly.
Can't really argue against that. That's what you're looking for. It's there, people.
And number one.
Number one.
Obviously, Rogue One, Star Wars Story. Friday estimate, $22.7 million. Total of $244.7 domestic.
$2.44 domestic? In 2 weeks, it made as much as Force Awakens made its opening weekend. That's how massive Force Awakens was.
Domestic 244.7, foreign 197, worldwide so far 442.
But this weekend's international estimates probably aren't out yet. So
yeah,
this thing's gonna make a ton of money. I expect it to make all over a billion, 1.2 billion, maybe even 1.5 billion is within reach.
If it says Star Wars on it, it'll make close to $1 billion, if not more.
It'll make
at least $1 billion.
It also got clearance to open in China. Not a given for any movie to get an opening in China.
Yeah.
China this week. I don't know. Not necessarily this week, but now officially passing the United States in terms of. Screen count.
Oh, nice.
Amount of screens in the country.
Okay.
They have more, which supply and demand as their economy strengthens.
And as the number of people get bigger.
They already have three times the amount of people that we have. So,
well, no, exactly.
The fact that they're just passing the screen count is. You know,
and that doesn't surprise me. And
that's going to keep going.
That's just because, I mean, once China, you know, gets. Eventually, there will stop being peasant farmers. And when those people learn about television and movies, then holy crap.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. There's more theaters, multiplexes, and malls, and consumer type stuff being made. They're weird communist capitalist thing that they got going on over there.
It's government only capitalism.
Yeah.
So only one person can profit.
That's true. That's true. The film China is run by the government. Anyway, them Chinese. Rogue One, we already talked about that. We did a spoiler bonus episode. You can check that out last week. And if you want to hear our non-spoiler reviews, you can listen to episode 206. We'll talk about it, Ross McCoy, that fellow over there. New movies coming out on DVD. Here we go. New movies. You guys got them Christmas gift cards? Looking for something to spend them on? Here you go. You can get American Honey.
Ooh. Sweet, we finally watched that.
Dog Eat Dog, which is the Paul Schrader movie with Nick Cage that got some crazy reviews. I think it was Paul Schrader. Might be mixing them up. In the Valley of Violence, which is the Ty West movie, Western, with Ethan Hawke that Billy Dee did the Death of the Movies on a while ago. And it played a bunch of festivals, got a lot of good reviews, but it never played here. Like, it would be the Ty movie that would have played at the Enzian.
But there's something else probably planned instead.
Yeah, never did. So, Snowden comes out.
Oh, nice.
And When the Bow Breaks. Remember that one? Remember that trailer where it was kind of like a Fatal Attraction thing? But, but it's a black cast, right?
With the babysitter.
And with the babysitter. And the trailer for like the first 2 minutes, there's no dialogue.
Yes. And then you were like, what if it's a silent movie?
I thought it was, like, what if it's only music? That would have been so ballsy. But it was like, no, just dialogue. Like, oh, then fuck it. Now it's just a Fatal Attraction ripoff. So there you go. Those are our new movies come out on DVD. What's come out in theaters, Drew?
In theaters, the new Ben Affleck movies, Live by Night.
Live by Night.
Written by, directed, starring.
Yes, I believe he adapted a Dennis Lehane novel. The early reviews are saying that it's a good movie, though not great. That's kind of mixed. And that he is, unfortunately, one of the weaker parts of it. So
when I was watching the trailer and I saw him and his voice work and everything, I'm like, oh, Ben.
You're like, oh, no, Ben. You're on record as not being a Ben fan. You don't like musicals? If Ben Affleck were in a musical, we couldn't get you within 100 feet of that theater.
Man, but you know what? If he directed it, I might give it a chance.
so open-minded.
Hidden Figures comes out.
I want to see that.
It looks interesting. I mean, I knew a lot about the space program. I had no idea about this side story.
Yeah, I already enjoy movies about space program stuff, 60s space program things. It's a very exciting time. Huh? And the story of, underdog story. Three black women who all know the maths. I hate math. Do you know the math?
I'm so off with the math.
I'm awful. I'm terrible at it. But they're trying to get a job. They get jobs at NASA.
That's why
to help with the math.
That's why I keep Matt around. He's good at the maths.
Matt is good with the maths. Yeah. But most of his name is math.
Yeah. Ew.
Yeah, his name starts with math.
And then it's ew.
And ew, that's us.
Yeah.
he goes math, and we go ew. I think it looks good. It looks like a good movie. And then Kevin Costner is in another movie where it's like black and white race relations are crazy.
What is he doing wrong to do this?
Yeah, like, what's he hiding?
He's getting in front of something.
He's already paying atonement somehow behind the scenes for this. So that weird one that was literally calling black and white.
Yeah.
The child custody one.
Mm-hmm. And then the one with the brown runners.
The Mexicans. Yeah. McFarlane USA.
Yes.
We're going to have a Kevin Costner confronts racism movie marathon. We're gonna do it.
He does it a lot.
We're
apparently
gonna do it. We're gonna do it and then do a bonus episode.
Also coming out this week, the new Matthew McConaughey movie, Gold. Hear about this? I've never even seen anything for this.
Gold is a Stephen Gagan. I can't say his last name. Gaghan. Stephen Gagan movie. This is the guy who wrote Traffic.
Okay.
And then he wrote and directed Syriana.
Ooh, so this is probably an unlikely pair venture to the Indonesian jungle in search of gold.
In search of gold.
Someone's head probably gets blown off.
So I think it's sort of a treasure to Sierra Madre, looking for treasure, maybe going crazy along the way type of thing.
Cool.
So that's interested in that for sure.
Also coming out this weekend, the new directed by starring Denzel Washington. Fences,
yes, the August Wilson play that he and Viola Davis did on Broadway, I believe.
Saw the trailer for that in front of, what did we see the trailer for that in
Moonlight?
Front of? Maybe, whatever, it looked really good.
I've seen a couple trailers, the first trailer is great, the second one's pretty good too.
It looked really good.
Looks very intense, looks very good.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of movies coming out, some of them in limited release.
And last but certainly not least.
No, there's more than that.
So you want me to keep going?
Yeah, just go all the way down. All
right, 20th Century Women, this looks interesting.
Yes, A24 and A24 and Annapurna.
Combined, so it's my two favorite art house people coming together.
Production people now, just distributors. It's a Mike Mills movie. Mike Mills did Beginners, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, when I first saw the 20th Century Woman trailer, I forgot where I saw it, but it was just playing in front of something. And there's a voiceover, and there's a shot of stars, and just the way the voiceover was, and I was like, oh, this reminds me of that Mike Mills movie, Beginners. And then the...
Mike Mills.
Yeah, that's right by Mike Mills. Like, oh, it's a, yeah. It's a new Mike Mills, sweet. So I'm looking forward to it just for those reasons, because of who it is, and...
I mean, I just saw the trailer.
And the A24 and Annapurna involved.
I saw A24, and then I saw Annapurna afterwards, and I was just like, what? Yes.
Yeah, it's a hell of a team.
I'm sold.
And on top of that, yeah.
On top of it all, it looks like a good movie.
It does look pretty good, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to it for sure. Watch, Drew. It's going to be simple. If it's anything like Beginners, it's going to be simple, yet profoundly human.
Yeah.
Because that's how this guy traffics.
Also coming out, Patterson. This is the new Jim Jarmusch movie.
Yes, the Jim Jarmusch. It's Patterson. Adam Driver is a bus driver in New Jersey, Patterson, New Jersey. And apparently it's just like a kind of one of Jim Jarmusch's easygoing movies. Okay. That kind of a character study type thing.
Yeah. Is it going to be a character study about vampires?
No, that doesn't mean. More of an easygoing bus driver, I think.
Okay.
He's kind of weird looking.
Cool.
Because Adam Driver's a weird looking dude.
Yeah, he is.
But it's got good reviews, though. So I'm looking forward to eventually checking out. Might be maybe at Winter Park Regal. Probably Yenzian.
And lastly, yes. Tony Erdmann.
Tony Erdmann. This movie got nominated for a bunch of awards, like for the Palme d'Or and the Cannes Film Festival. And it won, I think, a Director's Award at the Cannes Film Festival, and a bunch of other stuff. So it's just one for people looking for something interesting. It's a foreign film. I believe it's English, maybe.
Foreign.
Maybe German, I'm not even sure. But something off the beaten path.
One of them foreign films.
You can find this one, Tony Erdmann. That's out there for sure. So there you go. Those are all your new movies coming out in theaters. That's a lot of stuff. End of the year.
That is.
Some of those are limited release anyway. You know what time it is.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, Dr. Drew is in the house. Good doctor, please take it away.
Chris.
Yes.
2016 was a fucking garbage year.
Garbage year.
It was awful.
Yes.
Fuck 2016.
Fuck 2016.
Bring on 2017. Let's make it better, because good Lord, it has to be.
It has to be better.
The doctor out.
All right, there you go. Bring on 2017. I just wrote it down. Let's take a quick break, guys. As you ruminate on that advice from the good doctor, Dr. Drew, Crespo Disco time, like I said, here's a couple songs from the La La Land soundtrack, the music by Justin Hurwitz. If you want some good piano jazz, check out the soundtrack. The first song is the one that Ryan Gosling sings that I was mentioning before, City of Stars. Well, these songs are very short. The next one, Engagement Party. The little piano ditty that he was playing in the Engagement Party. It's on that soundtrack, man. It's good stuff. So check out these two songs. We're going to be back with the second half of the show. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. So here we go. Thank you.
Hey buddy, how are you? Have you been looking for an oddly specific type of weekly, one-hour, pre-recorded radio program slash podcast that is hosted by a couple of married idiots discussing the news of the week? You have? Huh. You can enjoy talking nonsense with Eric and Stacy along with our 26 other listeners by subscribing at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Alt360Radio.com. We also air at 8 a.m. Central on FM2 Talk Radio on TuneIn. Give it a shot. Or don't. My self-esteem really could use the boost, though. Thanks, buddy.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Guys, here we go.
Here we go.
Sorry, the second half of Cinema Crespo Diso, Florida's number one movie podcast. That's an example of why we are who we are. The best there is. If you can think of a movie podcast from Florida that's better than this one,
go fuck yourself.
Thank you, Drew Sakagwa. And where can people find you on the interwebs?
At antihero419. All over said interwebs.
All over interwebs, like on the Twitter.
Yes.
For example, you can tweet Drew your favorite kitchen nightmare gifs, and he will retweet them and give his opinions.
Because I probably lived them.
Because he's lived them.
My entire life's a kitchen nightmare, Chris.
Oh. Before or after? The before part or the after part?
The during.
No! Meanwhile, Gordon Ramsay's there yelling, "It's roll!"
Yes.
In your face, "It's roll!"
And then I usually yell back at him, and then I get fired.
And then you yell back. It's like, "I don't like rubbers, but it's roll!"
Rod, not bad shit.
That was a wrong line. That's an unprotected sexual intercourse joke. Guys, the show on Twitter is at Crespo Diso, Facebook Cinema Crespo Diso, Instagram Cinema Crespo Diso. Follow those accounts so you can stay up to date on whenever we drop new episodes. I put out the links right away so you can find out. You can jump right on it.
And he's got funny little pictures that go with
it. And I try to add the funny little pictures to make it even cuter to get more attention so people can see them. And because, you know, it's hard out there trying to get... You're competing with millions of users to try to get eyeballs on your shit. You know what I mean? Bro. Also, on the Instagram, you can see some behind-the-scenes pictures, pictures from the studio, etc., etc. When we have the guest in, we take pictures with the guest. So check that out. Email us, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. If you want free stickers, all you gotta do is send us your name and your address.
Take them, please.
And we'll send you some stickers.
You know what, Chris? You know what I realized? I got a thing on the Facebook. It said, 2 years ago today, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And you know what it was?
We bought stickers?
The day we got the original stickers.
Oh,
we've had them
shit.
For 2 years.
No shit. No way.
Yes. We've had these stickers for 2 years.
And we're almost done with them. We're almost out of them.
We have a quarter of them left.
Yeah.
it's like still 256.
So guys, we have on top of that another 1,000 or so. On top of that another couple hundred. The other ones, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com for your stickers. Send them and we'll send your emails. We'll send them out. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo.
Are you?
I am, for sure. And if you can find me, yeah, I'm the one with the Twitter account that says DLM Regular.
Hashtag
DLM Regular. That's not going to stay up there forever. No, it's a joke. If you find me on Facebook and send me a friend request, I'll friend you because I don't give a fuck.
I will not unless I know you.
Unless you meet Drew Sircogwin face to face, shake his hand, look him eyeball to eyeball, he will not friend you back.
That is correct.
He's strict like that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that kind of stand taking.
Hey, man, someone's got to take a stand. Chris.
Someone's got to take a stand. Someone's got to do it. If not you, who? If not now, when? If not that, what?
All good questions.
All good questions. I will never get answers. All right, let's see. Where are we going to start here? You know, let's start with, how about some Billy D's Death at the Movies?
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent and horror film aficionado. We go to him for all things horror and then some. He hits us with his missive pretty much weekly. Yeah, pretty much weekly. Rarely misses it. You know, and then when he does, we pull out the call. We make sure the Gestapo hasn't taken him. De Blasio's.
The Thought Police.
The Blasio's jack-booted Thought Police thugs kicking down his door, dragging him away, you know, for some bullshit thought crimes. Yeah, you gotta watch out up there, man. Hashtag dicks out for Billy D. But he hit us up this week. He's safe. He checked in. So let's see what he's got to say. Drew, when you're done expelling the gaseous.
Sorry, the little gaseous.
No,
right,
it's
now.
Fine. They got you right at the inopportune time. It happens. But are you good to go?
What is up, my dudes?
What is up, Billy D?
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Festivus.
Yes, all those things.
Hard to believe it's Christmas Eve already. I feel like I was just watching Deadpool in the theater. What a rough fucking year. Yeah. At least it's almost over. 2016 was pretty weak for me. I'm struggling to complete my top 10 of the year list. Mm-hmm. Then again, I did not make it to the theater on a super regular basis. Mm. I missed out on a screening of Silence with a Scorsese Q&A this week because I was shooting a band in Brooklyn.
Why are we murdering people?
I'm going to be...
And why does the borough matter where you murder someone? Murder is murder no matter where you shoot people,
He
Billy.
Was just further away, so he couldn't see it because he was doing the murder in Brooklyn.
Oh,
in
I
Manhattan.
See what you're saying. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. Location. It was a little... Okay, yeah. I gotcha.
Thanks I'm going to be that. Kicking myself in the balls for that until I die.
Ooh, that's so...
This week, I watched most of the OA when I wasn't hustling.
Is that a heel kick?
10 minutes into the first episode, I said to my girl, if this show winds up being about X and she gets a bunch of people in a circle to listen to a story, I'm gonna be pissed. After 3 episodes of people sitting in a circle listening to Britt Marling's story, the show revealed itself to be about what I thought.
Oh.
Britt Marling does some very oddly specific stuff in her projects.
Yes.
Like walking around barefoot, mm-hmm. wearing gingham dresses,
yep.
starting a small cult with her at the center, making people close to her eyes, and people to a story while sitting in a circle. Mm. Usually, she wants them to figure out if the story is true. Sometimes, she is the answer to whatever questions they have. I'm not saying the show is bad either, or that Marling is untalented. She's actually great at what she does, but a joke is only as funny as the first time you hear it.
Yeah.
I liked the first time she walked around barefoot in gingham and made Pepsi and me and made Ma- no and made people sit in a circle.
And made Pepsi.
It was called The Sound of My Voice, yeah. And I think I reviewed it positively when it came out. It's just that at this point, I can't tell if I'm a Britt Marling fan or if I'm enabling someone's messiah complex. I'm about to finish this show, and if it gets a second season, I'll probably sit it out unless it comes highly recommended. I got some good music out of this year. I've pasted what I think are the best records of the year below. I've actually changed it from the Twitter one sheet I posted earlier this week. Trap Them edged out Nick Cave in the final days of the 2016th Foul Year of Our Dark Lord. So I guess this is Bill's top 10.
Here we go, Bill's top 10. Number 10.
No particular order. Pup, this stream is over. Dep, or P-U-P?
Dep, they'll just keep it.
Okay, what's P-U-P?
Pup.
Anyway, P-U-P or Pup, the dream is over. D-E-P, Dillinger Escape Plan, I guess.
Yeah,
Dissociation.
Yeah.
David Bowie, Blackstar, Gojira, Magna, Ghost, Pope Star,
ooh.
Iggy Pop,
yep.
Post-Pop Depression, Oathbreaker, Rhea, I guess.
Rhea.
R-H-E-I-A.
As in Thaya.
Okay. The Black Queen, Fever Daydream, Every Time I Die, Low Teens, and Trap Them, Crown Feral.
I can vouch for it. Every Time I Die, Low Teens, The Dillinger Escape Plan. Was it Dissociation?
Dissociation.
Dissociation. That's very possible.
Dissociation.
And
the Black Queen album was good.
The Black Queen album, yes.
I know
that
Every Time I Die album
was fantastic, yes. So those three albums are all great.
And his most played, I guess, were the P.U.P., the D.E.P., Ghost, and the Black Queen.
I think it's Pup.
Pup, okay, sure.
I think it's Pup.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
That's it. Thank you, Billy D. We appreciate it. Hit him up on Twitter at ILoveBlood. Also on other places on interwebs at that same handle. He makes it easy. This guy and Drew, smart guys with the similar social media names throughout the internet.
I mean, he probably got that from me.
Billy, is that true? It's true, isn't it, Billy? Because this guy's been Anti Hero 419 since the internet was born. The internet was born with Drew already living in it as Anti Hero 419.
It took a little while. When I got to college, though, my freshman year, I decided, boom.
Boom.
That's what it's going to be.
Done.
Do I regret the decision of what I chose? Probably a little bit, but I'm sticking with it, damn it.
It's done. What are you going to do? Are you going to change it now after all these years? Are you going to change it now? It's done. Forget about it. Thank you, Billy. We appreciate it. Let's see. Let's do the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
That's right. You can email us cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com and we will read whatever you got to say in this segment of the show. It's the Vox Populi. It's the voice of the people. This is the podcast of the people. We're now the segment of the people. There's the Drewster of the people. He's going to take it away. Drew, take it away.
Oh, I got an email from Ron. This is from last week. Sorry.
Right. We're catching up, Ron. Sorry about that. The episode went a little long. We had to cut some things, but now we're catching up here. Take it away.
So I've seen 3 movies this week. All had actors linking them together, so it was a fun week. To piece this all together, let's start at the end, shall we?
Let's start at the end.
With Rogue One.
Juice the Cog, we're in verse the world.
Trading. Just trading.
Oh, you traded pens?
Trading colors.
You traded pens?
I'm creating while we talk.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. All right. Well, here we go. Drew, we're doing a sparring round, but you are done for the year.
Yes. I ended with
17 and 13, which is...
Let's do some math here, Chris. Let's do some math here real quick, okay? Right,
let's do some
math. We're going to do some math.
Last year, you were 19 and 7.
Hang on. First, okay. So 2014, I was 13.
Oh, you want to do an overall record?
Uh-huh.
Just checking out.
Well, no. Hang on here. Let's go. So
13. He's doing the math. While he does the math, I'm going to let people know Drew's record in 2013 when we started our first year. He was 11-11-1, the only tie ever. In 2014, he went 13-7. In 2015,
that was 65%. In 2014.
2014, 65% win percentage at 13-7.
Mm-hmm.
13 wins out of 20 guests. In 2015, out of 26 guests, you had 19 wins.
That was actually 73%.
73%. You went up this year out of 30 guests, 17 wins.
17 and 13.
Out of a solid 30 guests.
Ah, that was only 56%.
Oh, went down. We got more guests this time, but it went down. So we'll see. I'm going to try to get even more guests this year.
We'll see what happens.
And we'll see what happens to that record. But 17 and 13... 3 years in a row of over 500.
Yeah. I started off exactly 500.
First year, exactly 500. Yeah. But since then, juicer dominance. So here we go. To close out the year, sparring round, we're going to do two short games.
Okay.
The first game, which came first, the movie or the toy?
All right.
I'm going to tell you the property. You tell me which. How did it exist first, as a movie or as a toy? Mm-hmm. Number one, Transformers.
Toy.
Correct. Number two, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Toy.
Correct. Number.
Technically comic book.
That is true, but I'm asking toys and movies. Number three, G.I. Joe.
Toy.
Correct. Number four, Ghostbusters.
Oh. Movie.
That's correct. Number five, Ouija.
Toy.
That's correct. 5 out of 5 in that game. Our second game, Drew. It's an oldie, but a goodie. The Rotten Tomatoes game.
Oh, man. This one gets me sometimes.
I'm going to give you two movies. You tell me which one has the higher rating on Rotten Tomatoes. This is the Christmas edition. Also, we're doing audience scores, not critic scores.
Okay.
So what do the users think of these movies? Number one, which has the higher audience score on Rotten Tomatoes? The Santa Claus with Tim Allen? Or Home Alone 2, Lost in New York?
Home Alone 2.
The Santa Claus has a audience score of 65%. Home Alone 2, 61%. Ooh. Number two, which has the higher score? Audience score. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Or The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Muppets.
Christmas Vacation, 86% audience score. Muppet Christmas Carol, 85%. Oh, close. 1%, but it's close, but you're wrong. Number three, which has the higher score? Tyler Perry's A Madea Christmas or Batman Returns?
Batman.
Madea Christmas, 70% audience score. Batman Returns, 73%. There you go. Get that one right. Number four, higher audience score, Ernest Saves Christmas or Christmas with the Cranks, another Tim Allen movie.
Christmas with the Cranks.
Ernest Saves Christmas, audience score, Rotten Tomatoes, up 41%. Christmas with the Cranks, 37%. Ooh.
Both are pretty awful.
And finally, which has the higher audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, Home Alone or Die Hard 2?
Home Alone.
Home Alone, 79%. Die Hard 2, 70%.
Yeah,
there we go. So you get 2 out of 5 on that one. 7 out of 10 overall. If you combine the 2. There you go, Drew. Good luck next year. Well done this year, sir. I must say, well done this year.
You.
Good luck in 2017.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes, mate. Back to the Vox Populi.
All right,
yeah, we did that already.
So we start at the end. Rogue One.
Rogue One.
I'm sure y'all don't remember, but I do not like the Star Wars franchise.
Okay.
However, be it that I now work with Star Wars theme projects, maybe it was the DL love story. I like this one of some strong characters. A strong female didn't hurt either, breaking the mold for many cis white males.
Cisgendered, C-I-S.
Yes,
it's when you're not transgendered, you're cisgendered.
Okay, so a strong female.
You live your sign, your quote assigned gender.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for cis white males. But if I had to put my fat finger on this, it would be K2. That shit was comedy gold. How all of it fit between 3 and 4 was pretty dope too. I'm glad I was seen drunk off IPA when I saw it. Hope to never see it again, even if I had the talent, Forrest Whitaker, who was also in Arrival. So he goes from Rogue One, tying Forrest Whitaker in that into Arrival.
All right.
Now that movie was something. I believe the gregarious, glamorous Drew saw the ending coming. I did as well, after the white trash let fear take hold of them. Forrest playing the pliable government figure fit him. He is the aura of authority always, but ration his wisdom with his eye, and you will always trust. I think Renner and Adams had some character chemistry that was awesome. I think the satellite phone scene was super intense and made me feel things.
Maybe feel things.
Adams looks like that gala confirm what I thought was the twist was, and the challenge she had to face with
the use of the weapon at her disposal.
You can do it, Drew.
All right. Amy also carried another movie with her expression and slight expression of the eyes in Nocturnal Animal. This movie, from the intense visual art of an intro to the European ending, although my Bulgarian boyfriend disagrees, and had things to be discussed. Much with any good art. This film invoked many thoughts and emotions in me. I'm sure others feel it as well, which I hope warrants a quick after-show discussion. Since Jake gave a great performance, the story is told by Tom Ford, make me wonder what it is that this handsome... The story is told by Ford makes me wonder what is in his handsome gay mind. Also, the gay guy at the party is not any damn brother, just a friend, I think. All listeners of this show should see and rub the extra content these fine men give you all over your teats and absorb it through osmosis. Or is it diffusion? I think osmosis is just water absorption. Either way, go watch Nocturnal Animals. If you do a spoiler episode, here are the points I want to point out. Do you want to get into that, Chris?
Do it look like there's a spoiler for Nocturnal Animals? Yeah. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. I don't know, it's already been a few weeks since we've seen it, though. Can we remember this stuff? I don't know if we have time to do an extra thing after today's episode, either.
Whatever.
Might have to hold on to that. We'll see, Ron. We'll see if we can get around to the
In closing, I hope happiness stays and brings you an HBO Go account so you can watch Westworld. Don't worry, Ron.
We're on it, Ron.
I'm through episode 6. I'm on episode 7.
Yes.
So, I will finish. I mean, I'll be done the end of probably today.
I wonder if we'll be able to. I gotta find my list. We might be able to. It's already. We do another TV thing.
Perhaps.
Might have enough TV shows under our belt. So that was it from Ron. Thanks, Ron. We appreciate it, buddy. Sorry we didn't read all your emails last week. And good job, Drew, getting struggling through it. Well done, dude. What's next in the Vox Populi?
We got a email from Cremella.
What's up, Cremella?
Rogue One playing at Gainesville Regal Royal Park 16 Stadium. Spoiler alert!
That was very specific.
Rogue isn't even in this movie. Fuck you, Marvel. 0.0 out of 6.9 Crespos.
That's, the rights issues with Marvel and Fox and all that.
No Rogue in the Rogue One movie.
Yeah.
No. It's a shame.
Should have changed the title.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to expect to see... I can't think of any other Logans. Famous Logans.
Damn it.
that joke wasn't working.
Nope, got nothing.
That joke wasn't working.
And sir, that is the Vox Populi.
Alright, well, we appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. That leaves us with the movie news segment, and the movie news segment means we play the movie news intro.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
getaway.
Navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, guys. Movie news segment. This is where we talk about all the celebrity divorces that you know.
Chris, what's going on with the Biebs? Where's our Biebs update? What is our last Biebs update of 2016? Go.
I was going to ask you what's up with the Biebs.
I thought you knew.
No, I'm here to ask the question.
The Biebs is missing.
I do the intro and I ask the question.
We don't know what's up with the Biebs.
Is he missing?
I think he might be missing.
You can't check his Instagram?
I don't know. I'll follow the Biebs on Instagram.
All right, well. There you go. That's your Biebs.
That was an abrupt change of pace.
That's your Biebs update then. No. I guess we have no Biebs update, but we can replace that
with
the threat update.
Which is?
This week's threat update, guys. Current threat update is Firebrick. Your credentials are without basis.
Correct. They are.
So there you are.
I really don't have any credentials.
We talked about this on a show before. STX Entertainment, they produced the movie Bad Moms, which had some success financially.
They made some money.
So they made some money. So they decided, because sequels perform a certain percentage less than the originals,
yes,
they weren't going to make Bad Moms 2. Instead, they were going to branch off the quote, bad brand, the Bad franchise.
So what, Bad Babies?
They were going to do Bad Dads.
But haven't we had this discussion before?
We talked about this before, yes, how they're going to do Bad Dads, and then we talk about how that's just every other movie.
Yeah.
That's just every comedy is already Bad Dads.
Correct.
STX, rolling back on that, they're not doing a Bad Dads movie.
Instead?
They're doing Bad Moms too. Yeah. But it's specifically going to be a Christmas movie. And it will be a Bad Mom's Christmas, which is being fast-tracked for release November 3rd, 2017.
So next year.
By this time next year, it will have already come out.
Sounds awful.
Yeah,
who comes up with these ideas?
STX Entertainment, that too.
Who runs STX?
A guy, this guy who worked for a long time at another studio that did really well over there, and he got some Chinese money to open up his own place, and they're making their own movies that's based on like their own sense of what makes movies and algorithms and graphs and charts and shit like that. And their best movie so far is probably their first one that they released, The Gift.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah. And then since then it's been not so hot.
That's shit.
Not so hot. STX.
Fuck.
Wes Anderson announced his next movie.
Ooh.
It's called Isle of Dogs. Isle of Dogs is set in Japan.
Japan?
It's set in Japan. And it revolves around a boy's odyssey to find his dog. I believe it is animated stop motion.
Oh, like the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Mr. Fox.
Which was good.
He already has people lined up for the cast. Some Wes Anderson regulars and some Wes Anderson newbies. So here we go. Cast includes Scarlett Johansson.
Regular.
Edward Norton.
Now regular.
Bryan Cranston.
Ooh, maybe.
Jeff Goldblum.
Reg.
Liev Schreiber.
Noob.
Tilda Swinton.
Reg.
And, of course, Bill Murray.
Thank God.
As well as... You thought it was done. I'm not done. As well as...
What?
F. Murray Abraham. Bob Balaban. Bud Cort. All regulars. Greta Gerwig. Harvey Keitel. Yoko Ono. Yes, Yoko. Oh no. Yoko, oh no!
Oh no!
So this should be coming out probably sometime 2018, considering it's stop motion. That's going to take some time.
Interesting.
Dax Shepard.
Yes.
Mr. Kristen Bell.
Uh-huh.
He's the one who has been assigned the task of making the live action, not live action, but the comedy movie reboot of the TV show Chips.
Okay.
California Highway Patrol. Confirmed it's going to be an R-rated film. Dax Shepard himself said, there's female nudity, there's more me nudity than probably any other nudity, and then yeah, there's a lot of adult material and sexual stuff and a naughty language.
So, comedy?
Comedy.
Okay.
It's going to be a raunchy comedy of sorts.
So
the Chips movie.
So it's going to be like Super Troopers, but with motorcycles.
It's going to be like Super Poopers, but with more money.
And motorcycles.
And motorcycles. And Dax Shepard as the white guy. Mm-hmm. Michael Pena.
Sweet.
Poncherello. And the plot is they find themselves embroiled in chaos when Vic Brown, a former LAPD cop, was kicked off the force, is now the leader of a group that steals cars, and he starts wreaking havoc across the city.
So we're gonna make cameos, obviously.
Yes, the character, the Vic Brown character, the bad guy, to be played by Vincent D'Onofrio.
Nice.
Yeah. Cast rounded out with Wilmer Valderrama, Adam Brody, Rosa Salazar, Cal Penn, and Ms. Dax Shepard herself. Kristen Bell.
So we're not going to get the original Chips guys in
there? I'm sure they'll pop up in there. How can they not?
They better.
Eric Shaw will pop up and look at the camera and be like, oh, I was Chips once. And then I'll be like, oh, we're watching a movie.
Yeah. that was a pretty heavy sigh there, Chris.
Yeah, I hate that shit. This is from, all those stories are from cinemablend.com. I get a lot of my stories from there now. I used to get them from Slash Film. But they suck. And their editor is a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
This is from thenewstatesman.com.
Ooh, the New Statesman. What happened to the old Statesman?
I don't know about the old one, but the new one published this article about a Sinbad movie. Drew, do you remember the Sinbad movie? Sinbad the actor, the comedian Sinbad.
Yeah.
Do you remember the movie he did in the early 90s where he played a genie?
Vaguely.
Shazam.
Shazam!
Maybe it was Shazam, a genie called Shazam. You remember? Nope. He was a genie.
Okay.
In a movie in the early 90s.
Okay.
Where he helped a kid. Some kids.
You say so.
Well, I'm asking you. You remember? You vaguely might remember.
Vaguely.
You vaguely might remember it. Drew, this movie, Sinbad, where he's a genie, ties into the Mandela effect.
Really?
There are a bunch of people who independently online have been trying to get information on a early 90s genie movie called Shazam starring Sinbad. No such movie exists. And yet, numerous people are independently trying to find out information on this genie movie with Sinbad that you vaguely remember that does not exist.
Or was it, if it wasn't Sinbad, was it Shaq?
Shaq's Kazam came out a few years later.
That's what it is.
And that's what some people are thinking, that everyone's just mixing
that's
up.
That's what it is.
Sinbad with Shaq somehow.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's what's going on. Yeah.
In this New Statesman article, they quote a whole bunch of people. Like, for example, there's this guy, someone named Carl. Carl's name changed because he wishes to remain anonymous. Recalls watching a movie called Shazam with his sister in the early 90s. Has fond memories of discussing it with her over the last 20 years. In their recollection, the movie starred Sinbad as an incompetent genie who granted wishes to two young children. Says Carl, I've taken the Craigslist and I've posted a bounty of $1,000 for anyone that can turn up a copy of this movie, whether it was accidentally kept for Blockbuster or if someone made their own bootleg VHS copy. I want to be able to make it known that the movie is indeed real. Meredith Upton, a 25-year-old videographer from Nashville, Tennessee, also remembers the same film. Whenever I would see Sinbad anywhere in the media, I would recall him playing a genie. I remember the name of the film as Shazam. I remember two children accidentally summoning a genie, and they try and wish for their dad to fall in love again after their mother's passing, and Sinbad can't grant the wish.
Nothing.
This guy Don has detailed scene-by-scene recollections of the film, which include the children wishing for a new wife for their dad, the little girl wishing for her broken doll to be fixed, and the movie finale taking place at a pool party.
What?
Don says he remembers the film vividly because he worked at a video store. And customers would bring the video back to his rental store claiming it didn't work. And he watched it multiple times to try and find the problem with the tape.
But it didn't work. It never worked, Chris.
But it worked for him. And then they even asked Sinbad about it. Sinbad quoted on Twitter, at SinbadBad is his Twitter name. Have you noticed no one my age has seen the so-called Sinbad genie movie? Only you people who were kids in the 90s. The young mind! Exclamation point. He tweeted that in September 2016.
Yeah. Can I see that? It's kind of weird.
And, the article then goes on to the whole Mandela effect.
Yeah, the Mandela effect's a weird thing.
Possible alternate realities, glitches in the Matrix type shit.
It could be, dude. It could be. It really could be.
So if you, I mean, people, it's kind of a long article, but it's a good read. It's an entertaining read anyway. NewStatesman.com. Headline the article, the movie that doesn't exist and the Redditors who think it does. I recommend Googling that. Find it. It's fun to read. All right. You know, it's a last show of 2016. Well, the last full show of 2016.
It is, Chris.
So, you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
We give you the questions.
Ah!
You give us the answers.
Who?
Time for the lightning round.
Here we go, Dre. I have a whole bunch of questions. I need a whole bunch of answers. You ready?
Perhaps.
Number one, can you name the seven dwarves?
No.
Number two, Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella? Who wins in a cage fight?
Ooh, Sleeping Beauty.
Number three, what is the Song of the South?
I don't know.
And number four, have you ever felt fun and fancy free?
I think once.
Number five, who is the Dragon Slayer?
I am.
Number six, can wild hearts be broken?
Yes.
Number seven, describe... What? Oh, describe Operation Dumbo Drop in five words or less.
Elephant Bill Murray, really stupid.
There is a Pantera reference in D3, The Mighty Ducks. True or false?
True.
That's correct. Number nine. Is Scandalous John their bear... What? I'm going to try this one again. Is Scandalous John the barefoot detective or the $1 million duck?
Million Dollar Duck.
Number 10. Where is the island at the top of the world, and how do we get there?
I mean, if it's an island, it can't be at the top of the world, so I don't think it exists.
Where are all the missing ends of all those rainbows?
Stuck in a jar somewhere, attached to a leprechaun.
Oh, the leprechaun's what? Follow-up question, leprechaun's what? Why make so many statues without heads or arms?
Because who needs heads or arms?
Is space really the final frontier?
Yes.
Have you ever researched cheese?
Yes.
What does it take to change the essence of a man?
Pain and suffering.
Crest or Colgate?
Colgate.
If Hooters is a restaurant, then what is Dick's Sporting Goods?
A sporting goods store.
Will you march north with me to Havana?
No.
Sugar Ray or Death Ray?
Death Ray.
Godzilla, King Kong, Richard Nixon. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
Nixon. He's a monster.
Oh, he's the monster.
Yeah.
I can't read that one. Are you down with OPP?
You know me.
What is OPP?
I don't know.
No shirts, no shoes, no blank.
Service.
Monster Mash or mashed potatoes?
Mashed potatoes.
What do you think of when you hear the word Mavemschnup?
Saved by the Bell reference.
What's up with casseroles?
I don't know. It's a good question. What is up with casseroles?
Blackula versus Black Dracula. Who wins?
Blackula.
What is the meaning of life in 5 words or less?
42.
Star Trek or Star Wars? Which fan base gets laid the least?
Star Trek.
New Kids on the Block. NSYNC. One Direction. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
All of them.
Apple TV or Apple Pie?
Pie.
Playing any good video games lately?
Yes.
Jake the Snake Roberts versus Ravishing Rick Rude. Who wins in a spelling contest?
You know Ravishing Rick Rude.
Oh, well, the answer is Jake the Snake Roberts. Oh, okay. Because Ravishing Rick Rude is dead. Number 4, The Mask, Ace Ventura, Liar Liar. Rank them.
Ace Ventura, The Mask, Liar Liar.
Think of a number between 1 and 10. Got it? Think of a number. Is it blue?
No, it's red.
Are we living in the Matrix?
Yes.
What is your favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
What's up with bird owners?
They're stupid.
Should we shut down all social media?
Yes.
Name 3 golfers.
Tiger Woods, Arnold Palmer, RIP, and Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams.
I love that name.
Lard or butter?
Grizzly Adams didn't have a beard.
He didn't. But he was grizzly.
Lard.
Lard? That's the same question. Why do birds suddenly appear every time you're near?
Because you're hallucinating.
Have you ever written or received a message in a bottle?
No.
What are the chances we are living in a virtual reality? That's the same question. You hear about the conspiracy theorist who died mysteriously in Poland?
Yes. That was a crazy story. Did you hear about the Maasai carpenter who died nailed to a cross?
No. I thought that was just a pretty joke. Pro wrestling or professional wrestling?
Professional wrestling.
Have you ever had a Hotmail account?
Yes.
Describe your perfect Tuesday afternoon in 5 words or more.
Smoking weed, taking a nap.
Think of a number between 1 and 10. Is it red?
Orange.
Damn it.
You're awful at this.
Where in time is Carmen Sandiego?
1864.
Fantasy football or reality foosball?
Reality foosball.
What is your position on t-shirt gun control?
We should have more of it.
Describe your more gun control? T-shirt gun control?
Yeah.
Describe your dream vacation in outer space, 10 words or less.
Getting high, taking a nap.
Dr. House, Dr. Strange, Dr. Teeth. Who do you kick out of the sauna?
Dr. Teeth.
Why should we care?
You shouldn't.
Jesse the Body Ventura for President 2020, yay or nay?
Yay.
Did you know the owner of Yingling is a Trump supporter?
Yes.
Magnets, how do they work?
Magnetism.
What is hot right now?
The sun.
What is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Chocolate.
Is immortality possible?
No.
Team sleep or team no sleep?
Team sleep.
Family feud or Wheel of Fortune?
Wheel of Fortune.
Batman, hero or criminal?
Hero.
Remixes, great ideas or the greatest ideas?
Worst.
What is the best radio station in town?
My phone.
16 Candles or the Sistine Chapel?
Sistine Chapel.
Ronald McDonald, the Burger King, and the Wendy's girl get into a knife fight. Who wins?
The Wendy's girl.
Are you more of a Carrie or Miranda?
I don't know what you're referencing.
Was The Lion King based on a true story?
Yes.
How do I download the internet?
Yeah, press play.
How do I unbake a cake?
Cannot.
Do you think humans will ever walk on the sun?
God, I hope so.
Can you cry underwater?
Yes.
Why can't we tickle ourselves?
I mean, you can.
If Barbie is so popular, why do we have to buy all her friends?
Because it's a toy.
If night falls, why do days break?
Because they're weak.
Would you kill for a Nobel Peace Prize?
Yes.
Why do aliens abduct humans?
Because they're stupid.
How do you know when you have run out of invisible ink?
You don't.
Why do kamikazes wear helmets?
Good question.
Why isn't there more mouse-flavored cat food?
Oh, that sounds
Why is
disgusting.
The word dictionary in the dictionary?
Because
how, when how you would... are driving and... I'm done.
Are you now?
That's enough questions.
You're awful at this.
But you're great at it.
4 years later.
But you're...
And you still suck balls.
But you're fantastic.
Balls.
Good job. Balls. Crest balls. Enjoy some Crest balls this year, you guys. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to the show. We appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you all. Merry Christmas, Drew.
Merry Christmas,
Thank
Chris.
You. We appreciate it.
Happy Drew Year.
Happy Drew Year to you all. That's the next episode. Next episode, we'll be celebrating the Drew Year. Mm-hmm. Lord Drucifer on high.
Hopefully.
And below.
Oh.
Hopefully what?
Hopefully it'll be a better year.
Well, that's up to Drew now, isn't it?
Is it?
If it's a Drew Year.
I mean, it's never up to me.
No, well, then we're fucked. Well, then we're fucked. Guys, thank you so much. We are done for now. We'll be back soon with more stuff for you because this thing ain't stopping anytime soon. We're out of here. Right? That's it?
Wrong.
We're still here. Guys, let's do a whole new episode, 207.5. Drew Cogburn's here. Drew Cogburn, how you doing?
I'm leaving.
Where can people find you online on the interwebs?
Antihero419, goodbye.
All right, let's do the top five for Thursday. We'll go back a day. What came out on Thursday? Number five. Drew, the mic is still on. Drew.
That's your fault, not mine.
Drew. He's gone. Drew's gone. It's just me. All right, well, guys, it's out of here. I'm done. He's done. I'm done. We're all done. Check your stockings, take that lump of coal, and go outside and write anti-government messages on the sidewalk with that lump of coal. I don't know what I'm saying. Sorry, guys. All right, we're done.